Thank you and welcome to the 2023 Hope Corps and Wilson University commencement service. We're glad that you've joined us in recognition of some very significant achievements. And this session will begin, first of all, with the Hope Corps part of the graduation, followed by the Wilson University commencement exercises. And when this service is over, then there will be a grand gala event for those who have purchased their tickets. This is part of a broader National Challenge Week for the very first time that is bringing together Hope Corps, Wilson University, and the National Youth Development Council in a week of or several days of training with breakout sessions and inspirational sessions. We've already been blessed with some tremendous teaching and have felt the move of the Holy Ghost in some of these services. So we're glad that you've joined us. Before we proceed with this, I would like to take this opportunity for the very first time to announce publicly next year's Wilson University commencement exercises will be held in Ephesus. This will be called the Ephesus event. The dates are October 17th to the 24th. We have exclusive use of the Ephesus archaeological site, and we'll be having the commencement service and reception in front of the Library of Celsus, the famous iconic figure that Ephesus is known for. We invite you to join with us. Space is limited, and of course, priority will be given to those graduating Wilson University students for that day. But I believe that this is now open for registration if you're interested at www.bibleland.ca. And you can find more information about that right there. Now it's my pleasure to bring the president of Wilson University, Dr. Nathaniel Wilson. Yeah.
Shall we pray? Jesus, we want to thank you tonight for this very special first time in history occasion that all of us are blessed to be at. We want to thank you for the very significant impact that all of this implies and that all of this celebrates. We thank you, Lord, and see this as just the beginning of great things in graduates' lives and also in the whole idea of what is taking place. I pray, God, that you would bless every part of this commencement and every part of the gala with the power and blessing and favor and smile of God. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Well, firstly, I want to say thank you to everyone who has put on this event for your hard work and all who have shown up. My name is Tony Pimpo, and I'm here today to speak on behalf of the 2023 Italy ITW, also known as Big Blue. That's right. When we gathered in Italy this past July for what was the first ITW there in, I believe, about 10 years, many of us didn't know what to expect. What we got was an intense week of training, personal development, and spiritual experiences that left us all with a new perspective. And a passage of scripture that I have grabbed a hold of personally, something that my pastor has preached on, is found in 1 Kings 4:29. And it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore." So this largeness of heart and wisdom enabled Solomon to do unprecedented things. And if we are going to be truly great in God's kingdom, we must have our hearts and minds stretched and expanded. And we must have a vision that is bigger than ourselves and our immediate surroundings. We must have a vision that's larger than any one person can accomplish on their own. And that is why it is called the Great Commission. It's a co-mission. And it takes every one of us becoming everything that we can be to carry out that grand plan. And so that is an integral part of what Hope Corps is all about. Referencing that context of Solomon, he was handed something by his father David. He was handed the authority as well as the materials to grow and succeed in a way that made him reach new heights. So I appreciate Hope Corps for the fact that ministers and those who have experience, who have done it, are pouring themselves into people from all walks of life, all demographics, all age groups. And I view the ITW as an accelerant for whatever God has for you in the kingdom. And I believe that Hope Corps is and can be a key part of accelerating growth in our local churches. And so the vision that is imparted from the experience, it helps us to transform the way that we look at our roles in the kingdom. For if we fail to connect our daily and at times mundane efforts to the global mission of God, our vision, it begins to narrow. But our God never intended for us to have a narrow vision. And I'm here to say that we are a part of the greatest mission that there ever was. This great entity we are a part of is the church, and it has reached all over the world. And it is growing and expanding and becoming. And the Bible says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And so Hope Corps is about inculcating kingdom principles, particularly in the next generation. I completed my Hope Corps classes all the way back in 2017, but I was just able to go on my ITW this past year. Now, in 2017, when I started Hope Corps, I had never traveled outside of the country. One thing that the Hope Corps class content, even just that by itself, did for me was to expand my vision outside of my immediate context. And it helped me to stir in me a hunger to interact with the kingdom on a larger scale. And that experience planted seeds in me that eventually bore fruit and are continuing to bear fruit in my life up till this moment. So I've had the privilege of going to about 7 countries and being a part in some way of missions work in 4 of those. And I eagerly look forward to those times in the future when God opens doors and provides opportunities to do that. But it's not just about the work of God in a foreign field. We have a field here that is white already to harvest right in front of us. And today, Hope Corps alumni are missionaries, pastors, church planners, educators, teachers, local church helps. Whatever we are in this whole spectrum, we are in effect a missionary reaching out to our local community, whether that's in our local church or far abroad. There is a group of people all around us that we are called to reach. And so to my fellow classmates and other Hope Corps alumni, I challenge you to do what you can with what you have, where you are, and watch God do what only he can do. We've been given the tools that we need to succeed, so let's go reach the world, and let's go fulfill that great commission. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord?
Thank you, Tony. Hope Corps graduates, would you please rise? You can begin your procession. These graduates will walk across the stage and receive their certificates in order of the ITWs that they attended, beginning with Italy, followed by Durham, followed by Roatan, and finally with Los Angeles. These graduates have all successfully completed and passed 4 online courses at Wilson University. In addition to passing all of these courses, they attended an intensive training week that we shorten and call ITW. Intensive training weeks were held this year, as you have just heard, in Italy, a Spanish ITW in Durham, North Carolina, Roatan, Honduras, and Los Angeles, California. And these students are worthy of recognition. We honor them tonight in this service.
Isaiah Fishburne. Kiera Desir. Rebecca Coburn. Kaylee Coburn. Ashley Carson. Lily Bobo. Shelby Barker. Carlos Alvarez. Joshua Perez. Faith McDonough. Kimberly Martinez Toledo. Braylin Madsen. Leah Joy. Nathan Hernandez. Logan Henry. Pauletta Fuller. Cambry Fries. Eric Strickland. Case Smith. Alexander Simone. Antonio Salas. Emilio Rios. Alexis Pimpo. Anthony Pimpo. And Duncan Pimpo. Gledmi Marakin. Antonio Avendano Vidal.
Daniel Abernathy. Cecily Black. Hadley Carr. Eliana Malone. Brianna O'Howell. Sean Saylor. Lorienda Scheid. Thank you. Robert Scheid. Preston Walker.
Winston Curtis. Christina Glass. Danny Jordan. Heather Jordan. Morgan King. Noah Kent. Sarah King. Summerlin Kazugas. Celesta Longoria. Jeffrey Newton. Danielle Parker. Abigail Pittman. Kimberly Sharp. Jayla Williams. Zelda Phillips.
Give one more round of applause for our Hope Corps graduates. Congratulations. Yes. All right, you may be seated. And next we're going to have Valerie Lovelock come on up to represent Wilson University and our bachelor degree students. She's going to share a few words with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Wolf. Good evening, fellow graduates, future graduates, faculty, staff, family, and friends. It is my honor to address you this evening. I want to say thank you to a few people before I start. My parents, the greatest people I know. My kids, thank you for making me a really strong individual. And to my husband, thank you for always believing in me, challenging me, letting me bounce all the things off of you. I love you all more than you'll ever know. As I contemplated this speech for days and days, I had multiple thoughts, but none seemed to flow together or convey what I wanted to say. You'll be happy to know that this afternoon my thoughts seemed to clear. I guess I work better under pressure. Until 2019, I had contentedly lived with the idea of homeschooling my kids. And when they were all graduated, then I would return to school. I'm a planner, and therefore, we had a plan. And when our kids were born, I knew being in the home was exactly where I was supposed to be, and doing what was the most important thing for our family. And then, I took a leap. And it was a leap of faith for sure, jumping back in and hoping I still had the brain power to swim in college coursework, at the time I believe would be the extent of my education until at least 2026. God clearly had other plans. He started dealing with me about what the future would look like when I retired from homeschooling. And he made it clear that I needed to go back to school then. And I was like, seriously? When would you like for me to do coursework in the middle of homeschooling and all the things? Clearly, I listened because we're here today. In the short time that I have remaining, I hope you bear with me as I share a very small part of my story and hope that you hear something that encourages you for the adventures that lie ahead. Don't live in the pause. I love audiobooks. I'm often reading 4 to 6 books at one time. Usually half of those are audiobooks because that frees me up to do other things while I'm reading. But if you've ever been reading a really good book and you get to the cliffhanger part only to realize you have to hit pause, you're left with the expectation of returning to that moment that you left wondering what happens. In the early years of parenting, which at the time seemed far harder, but they're easier than parenting those that are nearly grown adults. Please, PSA for today, check on your friends with 17 to 22-year-olds. They may not be okay. But in the early years, I had a bad habit. I didn't know it at the time. I kept looking for the next best thing or waiting to resume after the pause. You know, I'll do this, what do we say? I'll do that when they're older or when they're grown. I will. It's not necessarily wrong thinking, but it can rob you of the present. It can, because you always have your eyes looking onto the future. Looking ahead, sometimes you miss the joy, the challenges, and mostly the opportunities that are right at your feet. And when I figured that out, that I was living with my eyes focused too much ahead and missing on the things right before me, I changed my mindset and focused on the present, enjoying and learning from each season, even the difficult ones. I've often joked that I did not know what I wanted to be when I grew up. Despite always looking ahead, I could never land on what it would be that I would actually study when I fulfilled that plan of going back to school. I never could figure it out, yet deep down I knew that the next season would be very important, but I had to prepare for the next season as if it was its own season. Yet I knew that life experience wouldn't be enough. There were a plethora of reasons why my continued education was in a holding pattern, and none of them were bad. I had a plan. It was a solid plan. No need to change the plan. I would go back when the kids were grown. And if I had the time, I would tell you all the things that changed in this season. There are many, but that's not for today. I'm going to quote Winston Churchill. He is said to say that to each there comes a time in their lifetime and a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered a chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for that which would have could have been their finest hour. What if the shoulder tap comes and you're waiting for your preparing season in the pause? My great honor and highest calling is, I believe, is to serve your family. And in that, somehow, I believe that going back to school would interrupt that or make me less of a good wife and a good mom. I was wrong. It is okay to pursue new things. Seasons change. Change is good. My plan did not account for the fact that the kids grow up at different times. We're not going to finish school at the same time. And the way a family needs a mom when three of the kids are seven and under don't look at all like what they need when they're teenagers. My family needs changed, and I needed to change with it. It's been a sacrifice for my family for me to pursue my degree, but an expiration date. It has an expiration date. Sacrifices don't always last forever. You have time for what you want to have time for, so I encourage you, don't wait. Live your life now, pursuing the things that God has laid on your heart. Prepare, trust his timing. That doesn't mean you won't occasionally find yourself in a pause, but make sure it was God that paused, that pushed that button. Some of you may be thinking, I have experience. I'm not a novice. I don't need to pursue an education. I'm already being used. Good questions, good thoughts. But Paul said in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth. Apostolic experience is part of who I am. I'm fifth generation apostolic, Holy Ghost filled, and I'm grateful for that heritage. However, that's not enough to save you. I started teaching Sunday school at 15. I served alongside my husband for the last 24 years. So experience I had. In 2020, when I began part of my degree program, ministry was not foreign to me. I had been boots on the ground in ministry for a long time. And through experiences, I had seen and learned a lot. But I didn't know what I didn't know. This type of education was needed, but I didn't think so at the time. I had heard many thousands of sermons, probably. I've read through the Bible many times. I've sat through and taught innumerable Bible studies and Sunday school lessons. I had no idea all that I didn't know. While daily devotion is hugely important to your spiritual discipline, most people do not spend hours studying the Word, discussing it with peers, writing scholarly works about whatever topic they read that day. These courses push me to dig deeper into the Word more than I ever have before. And now is where my geeky colors really show. It was fun. Most of the time, it was challenging but fun. Learning and discussing with anyone and everyone that would listen, and writing. C.S. Lewis said, have fun, even if it's not the same kind of fun everyone else is having. And clearly this type of fun is not what most people consider a roaring good time, but I do, and based on the room I'm in good company. Now, we all know that not everything in life is fun. I have faced heartbreaking loss. That's just to name one. There are hard things that will come to all of us, illness and pain, loss, that no one knows about will come your way. And while you work for the kingdom of God is eternally, eternally important and serious, there's nothing that says you should not have fun along the way. Every single class opened deeper understanding and knowledge that changed how I know God, how I understand his power, how I teach, my perspective of others, how I see myself and my place in the kingdom. How many can finish a degree in higher education and say that? Experience is invaluable, and it will teach you many things. But there is much to be said about taking the time to engage in coursework that will drive you deeper into the things of God. It will make you challenge your own worldview and how you rightly handle the word of God as we pursue filling the Great Commission. So I will close with this. See what I did there? You've heard that a lot before, haven't you? How many times have you heard that one? A very wise man, gone way too soon, had a habit of telling people, you belong here. So I stand here today because I've had the opportunity to stand on the shoulders of giants. And yet I questioned if I belonged in this space where divine calling and spirit meet academia. Maybe today you are thinking the same thing. I want you to know that this is God's kingdom and you belong here. Those around you who do not know God need you and all that God wants you to do and do through you. Do not ever think or say in my presence, you're just a mom, or you're too old, or you're too young. Don't live in the pause. It's not the end. And if I have not made it clear, you should prepare today for the next season. Don't wait on a preparing season. That's crazy. When the time comes, you have to be ready. Not just getting ready to get ready. You may have to adjust your plan. My planner heart hurt with that one. Or throw out your plan completely. But his is better, and you can trust that.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you very much for those words. And now we'll have Terrell Shamimi come up representing our graduate students today. Come on up, Mr. Shamimi.
Thank you so much. Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus? What did God save you from? I want to thank Jesus first for the opportunity to tell you about his grace. God found me and my wife on a country western dance floor in competition, and he changed our lives. Only dance for Jesus now. He took me from a family that made Reader's Digest for crime. And God allowed me to go preach in prison. Wilson University helped tremendously with that, as the anointing of God would move. I was told by my parent that I would never amount to anything in my life. I rebelled against those labels from childhood. I had four dreams of being trained at Wilson University. That's why I stayed with them through all the changes. The last dream, I was standing in his outfit. I am thankful that I was led to Hope Corps with my wife, where we went to Sicily for RITW with Brother King, Brother Adams. I would have mentioned others, but I knew y'all would be here. And their families came as well. I'm thankful that the journey did not stop there. Even though God was working in our lives. One night, I was learning about teaching a Bible study on water baptism. And God opened a door to a witness to a person that night inside of a restaurant. Many times, God orchestrated a witness. He will do this for all of you. You just got to step out. You can transfer your college credits, as I did. I became almost an instant junior. The degree plan I Throughout my degree plan, I've watched people filled with the Holy Ghost in countries like Uganda, Pakistan, and India. University will teach you how to see people through the lens of grace and mercy. Your vocabulary will change to build people up. I'm thankful that Wilson University is used by God to open doors for me to seek employment. And he can do this for you as a preacher, teacher, college professor, even business applications. God is using Wilson University to reach this world, and you're a part of it. I'm very thankful to my wonderful wife. She's sitting in the crowd of 26 years. She helped me through the 12 years of college, Wilson University. Took one class at a time, so can you, primarily. My wife played a major part. Thank you to my daughter. She helped me stay up late at night studying. I thank my pastors, Brother Treese and Brother Anderson, for all the advice, the help, mentoring allowance, and they allowed me to interview them at times in our classes. So I want to ask you a question. Why not go to a college that will invest in your eternal reward and salvation? How many of you are thankful that Wilson University is a viable opportunity to get a higher education? You're not limited to a secular college. You can go to an apostolic college. Those of you who are hesitant, why don't invest in yourself and God's kingdom by growing in the knowledge of God and the kingdom? Are you ready for the next step? Wilson will equip you to make an incredible difference in somebody's life. I highly recommend it, and I'm not being paid to say that. If your background in life is dysfunctional and you long to be effective at winning souls to Jesus, you must try this. Wilson University will change your life. Jesus came to this earth to pick others up. Let Wilson University help you to pick somebody else up. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Shamimi. Next, we would like to honor our Wilson University graduates. Please rise. First, we will recognize students who have completed a certificate program. For the Leadership Essentials and Apostolic Principles Certificate, Chris Hodge. Felicita Colhoun. For the Christian Counseling Certificate, Veronica Reyes. Nancy Petrie. Yeah! Anna Marie Blash. Holly Artis. Victoria Yanez. Yeah. Michelle Osinak. For the Apostolic Foundation Certificate, Tori Rutland. For the Leadership Essentials and Apostolic Principles Certificate, Lucy Kanay. Dylan Smith. Let's give all of our certificate graduates a hand. You may be seated. Next, we would like to recognize those who have completed a degree program. For the Bachelor of Science in Christian Ministry, Valerie Lovelock, summa cum laude. Nathaniel Aston. Michael Azer. Jeff Hanscom. Cody Holiday. Kyle Noland, summa cum laude. And in partnership with Jessup University, for the Master of Arts in Leadership with an Apostolic Concentration, Fabian Gomez Jr. And with a Bachelor of Science in Christian Ministry, summa cum laude, and a Master of Arts in Leadership, Terrell Shannon Shamimi. Let's give all of our degree graduates a hand. You may be seated.
Introduction. We're so excited tonight to have for our commencement speaker, pastor and man of God extraordinaire from Truth Church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Pastor Douglas Walker.
Thank all of you for all of the labor that went into you and this great accomplishment that you have achieved tonight, and give honor to the Wilson University Board and Chairman Wilson, as well as Hope Corps Board and Chairman King. We give you great honor, and we appreciate the work that you're doing for Pentecost and the world at large. God bless you. Amen. And it would not be possible without all of you that put so much labor and so much into that. Thank you to all the students and alumni. God bless you, and may the Lord reward you. To every parent and family member that supported you, encouraged you, and gave you the backup that you needed through this, God bless you to all the family. Amen. We couldn't do that without you. To every pastor that is here tonight that has allowed your young people, your saints, to be involved in this great and world-changing endeavor, God bless you and thank you for your great vision. Tonight, I have only a few moments of which I will honor my time slot. And I want to talk to you briefly about something that I had read not too awful long ago. I was reading something that a rabbi had wrote, and he made a most interesting comment to parents and to leaders and to rabbis. I quote this from Berakholt 64. He says simply, "Call them not your children, but your builders. For with them you will build a home, you will build a world together." At your commencement ceremony, there are many things that could be said and many things that we could encourage you to do. None of them would have as great meaningfulness as you taking away what you learned and applying it every single day of your life. I am interested by the book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter 25. It goes on and on about the story of these people who have exited from slavery, from bondage, from a life that was harsh work and bondage that they lived in. And somewhere in the book of Exodus, you note a great shift. And it is interesting at first reading, Exodus chapter 25 through chapter 40 is confusingly out of place. It seems like it fits more in Leviticus than it does Exodus. It is outlining the construction of the tabernacle, the portable house of God and worship that they would carry around in a desert place, and it does so in exhaustive detail, and it takes up almost one-third of this book. The book of Exodus could be subtitled "The Birth of a Nation," transition from a family to a nation, from slavery to freedom, and it rises in its climax with a covenant between God and the people at Mount Sinai. But what does the tabernacle have to do with this? It seems an odd way to end the book. In fact, most of the book is comprised with them leaving and complaining about almost everything. They complained incessantly. They griped, and at first it was about the lack of water. Then the water was too bitter. Then the lack of food. Then the lack of water again. And within weeks of the revelation at Sinai, the only time that God ever appeared to a whole nation at one time, they answered him back with making a golden calf. The sequence of miracles could not bring about a maturing on the part of the people. And you ask, then what will? It was then that God said in Exodus chapter 25, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering and give it willingly. With his heart ye shall take my offering, and this is the offering. He tells them what they will give, and in verse 8, he says, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. This simple command transformed the Israelites. And what is most interesting to me is during the entire construction of the tabernacle, you cannot find them complaining one time. There was no bickering. There was no fighting. There was no eating each other. There was no warring amongst themselves. There was no idolatry, hatred, variance, malice, envy, or strife. The people contributed gold, silver, the brass, skins, drapes. Others gave of their time and the skill, so much so that Moses had to say, enough. You don't need to give anymore. It is a remarkable proposition that is being framed, and that is that it is not only what God does for us that transforms us, but what we do with God. When every crisis is dealt with by Moses and miracles, the Israelites remain in a state of dependency. They do not grow. They do not mature. Their default response is fight and complain. For them to grow into adulthood and responsibility, they had to undergo a transition from passive recipients to the people who were co-creators with God. And these people had become partners in creation to make something. That is why the rabbis said, call them not your children, but your builders. We recognize one of the greatest challenges of leadership is to give people the chance to give, to contribute, to participate. And this requires self-restraint on the part of the leader, creating space for others to grow and lead. And as the saying goes, if the leader is good, the people has said, look what the leader did. But if the leader is great, they say, we did this. The person who had the greatest insight into democracy was a man by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville. He came to the United States and recorded all the way back in the 1800s that as long as these people do not depend on somebody else to do everything, they will be great. But when they abdicate their responsibility to make a better world, they will enter into a slavery unknown in any time and place. What he understands is that beware of societies that are all state and no society, all government and no community. And when a central power, even when that power is God himself, does everything on behalf of the people, they remain in a state of suspended development. They complain instead of acting, and progress and personal growth is arrested, and they give up to earthly despair. When a leader, in this case Moses, is missing, they do foolish things, none so more than making a golden calf. There is only one solution to make the people co-architects of their own destiny, and that is to get them to build something together, to shape them into a team and show them that they are not helpless, that they are responsible and capable of collaborative action. And that is what these courses and that is what this exercise has done, has convinced you that you have the tools, that you are equipped to build a better world, that you are able to take what is given to you and you can go away and make a better home, a better family, a better church, a better world. We can co-create with our God a world that is powerful. A world that is better than the one that we were born into. More light, more hope, more joy, more holiness, and more truth. It is gifted to you. And it is incumbent on you in this great responsibility for you to take this and go away and build the world God has called you to build. It's not somebody else that's going to do it. That's why he put the tools in your hands. I know, I'm trying to make a commencement speech. It's getting harder by the second. What we're doing here tonight is the catalyst for change in your community. You no longer have to sit and wish on a whim and a hope and prayer that you were in somebody's church. You're in the church you're in for a reason. Build a better church. Build the youth group you want to be. Build the outreach you want to have. Build the prayer rooms that you want to have. But don't sit still and expect somebody else to do it. I find it remarkable that the beginning, the genesis of this book, begins with God creating the universe as a home for human beings. But Exodus ends with human beings creating a tabernacle as a home for God. The basic principle of home building and relationship with God, that we are called to be co-creators with God. Hence, leaders do not work on behalf of the people. They teach people how to do the work themselves. It is not what God does for us alone, but what we do with God that allows us to reach maturity, dignity, responsibility, and stability. You do not have to wait to be great in the kingdom of God. You are called for a purpose. You are no longer our saints, you are our builders. You are no longer our children, you are our builders. You are no longer our students, you are our builders. And in building that world, we elevate the divine principle of God's creatorship, that God has given us the image-bearing capacity to walk out of this room and say, I will not complain, I will build the tabernacle. I will not gripe, I will build the tabernacle. I will not devour, I will build the tabernacle. I will not fight, I will not gossip, I will not gripe, I will not murmur. I will build what God has put in my heart to build. I will honor God. Gone are the days when you will point your finger and say, I wonder why they do it like this. And beginning are the days when you will say, this is how we could make it better. This is how we could do it. You will go home to your respective fields of labor. You will go home to your churches. And you will no longer sit there and say, I wonder why he said that. I wonder why they do it that way. You will go out and fix what it is that you are discontented with. Because you are no longer our students. You are our builders. I find it extremely fascinating that there is a danger in which you stand on the precipice of tonight. A stronger danger than you have ever known. A deeper fall and a greater stumble than you have ever experienced. And that is, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin and evil. You now know too much not to make a difference. And there is a danger in knowing what we know and having what we have and doing nothing with it. And we stand on that responsibility tonight. We laugh, we celebrate, we shout about so many things, but tonight we stand on the verge of the greatest responsibility that we have ever had. You can note this in the animal kingdom. It is interesting to me that if you ever visit SeaWorld in San Diego or Orlando or wherever else they are, you will notice that those great and august beasts of the depths. They swim. We call them killer whales. They are the orcas, and they swim in circles. And you will notice that in those tanks there is a large rising dorsal fin. And that dorsal fin on a wild male orca will stand between 5 and 8 feet tall. But in captivity, it's bent. In captivity, it turns and wraps in on itself. And that is the product of the degeneration And that is where the muscle tissue around that great dorsal fin begins, because of its inability to do what it was created to do, it begins to degenerate. If you, as a zoologist tonight, you could study elephants, there are a myriad of diseases that hit elephants that are in zoos. And they have done everything they can in imagination and everything they can in their ability to reason what is the power and what is the ability of these animals, and why do they die at such a high rate in zoos? Why does 40% of all baby elephants that are born in a zoo die within a matter of a year? What is this? What do they normally die of? Normally, 50% of all of the elephants in captivity will die almost at a half rate of life, and they will die because of their feet. They have found that at first they thought it was hard ground, so let's give them softer ground. And so they gave them larger pens and they gave them dirt. And then they realized that, well, possibly it is because that they're standing in urine and fecal matter. So let's do a greater due diligence to take away all of the filth that is in their pens. But what they did not realize is that these zoos were robbing these elephants of a crucial and much-needed lack of exercise. It is designed in them that they would live somewhere in about 2.7 million square acres. That's the life pen of an elephant. They are designed to eat, and they are designed to migrate. They're designed to walk about 30 miles a day. And in these things that move and they eat, and as they pass their food, it replants and replenishes the flora and the fauna about where they are moving. And so there's a cause in their life. But in captivity, they stand all day long. And one scientist happened upon this and said, until we either let them go or give them treadmills, we will destroy every elephant in captivity. And the title of what his paper was The Degenerative Effect of Captivity. When you are designed to migrate, you cannot stand still. When you are made to traverse the mountains, the valleys, the rivers, the hills, you cannot stand still. When you are designed to be a migratory species of evangelism and global conquest, standing still will destroy you. It will import problems in your life. Marriages will begin to crack. Relations with your pastor will begin to deteriorate because you are not designed to stand still. You are designed to move. You are designed to traverse. You are designed to travel. You are designed to evangelize. Your spiritual life will lose its muscular ability and its strength when you do not do anything except circle back every Sunday to have better and better church. Keep having better and better church, and you're going to fall out with your pastor, and you're going to fall out with your friend and your brother. But start bringing a visitor to that church service. Start teaching a Bible study. Start a coffee shop Bible study in a church plant. And all of a sudden, your feet and the health comes back. The reality of what I'm speaking about tonight is that you are no longer designed to stand still. You are no longer standing there saying, I wonder why they don't move. You are the movement of the body. Your feet will walk where Jesus wants you to walk. Your hands will reach where Jesus wants you to reach. Your mouth will speak what Jesus wants you to speak. And those who do not do that, they will import into their personal lives a deterioration that is so strong and profound, because you are not made to stand in a zoo all day and just do things better than you did yesterday. You are not made for a better building and a more comfortable pew. You are designed to move. You are designed to cross mountains. You are designed to pray. And in my name shall you cast out devils. In my name shall you lay hands on the sick. In my name shall you do the things that you have seen me do. In my name shall you say, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. But you will not and you cannot stand there and just have better church. You are not just here to be an academic. You are a man and woman of God. You are not here to just be a student. You are here to be what God has called you to be. You are to go forth and to be and to do that when they see you, they see the work of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, you can remain standing. I'm through tonight. We're supposed to pray now. And that's going to be easier for me. Man, the Hope Corps board has discussed it many times, a single secret that all members of this board struggle with a little bit, and pastors as well. And that is that there are some ITW students that when they come back, there is a sense of loss. Some come back and do great things. Others thinking that that is the answer. That is the sum total of everything I'm supposed to do and be. They get home, and there is much research that has been done on the negative impacts of short-term mission trips. But that is because God is not going to allow you to go there, to come here, and go home and do nothing. There is irrefutable proof that there is a degenerative effect of standing still. And so tonight, you are commissioned to go. Go into your fields and go into your churches, and you will do great feats with God. Some of you, God will give you mountain-moving faith, and others of you, God will give you mountain-climbing faith. But whatever, you will make it beyond the mountains. You will conquer. I want you to lift your hands tonight. Amen. Everyone in this room tonight, let's pray together. God, we pray a covering prayer of anointing, of strength and commission. God, we ask you that you allow each and every one of these to build a tabernacle with you. God, we ask you to let us lift ourselves above the petty, above the trifling, trivial matters of political bickerings, and let us rise to the cause, to the greatness of the kingdom, to the authority of the Holy Ghost, to the word and the work. God, would you bless us and build a fence around them? Give them the dignity of being co-creators. Give them the power to move. Give them the ability to walk, to climb mountains, to move mountains, to pray. God, bless their prayer life. Come on, let's lift our hands right now and receive.
Come on, this is a pivotal moment. Lift your hands. This is what it's all about. You can't get it all out of a book. When it comes to this moment, you got to lift your heart and surrender and say, Jesus, I'm stepping into the next step right now. All over the house, let's lift our voices. Let's cry out to God. Let's let the Holy Ghost touch us tonight. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Douglas Walker, for... Amen. A word in season. Can you say amen? It makes me want to go home and do more than I've ever done before and discover ways God can use this pitiful person that we are to become something that magnifies the name of the Lord, amen, on a global scale. Praise God. And so tonight you're a part of that. That's the DNA of Hope Corps, the DNA of the Youth Council, the DNA of Wilson University. Amen. This is where we're going. We are not standing still. And if that bothers you, we're sorry. We'll do everything we can to accommodate you, but we can't stay there with you. We're moving on in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. All right. We have a grand gala ahead of us in a little bit less than 1 hour at the Finnec, F-I-N-N-E-C. And you can probably just put that in your phone. It'll take you there at 7:30. Don't be late. I mean, it's 6:38 right now. This concludes this graduation. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. We'll see you at the Grand Gala. Congratulate our graduates before you leave. If you have a tassel, move it from the right to the left. Move it from the right to the left. Amen.